kuatai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Yes, it's right. It is time for one of my highlights of the week, which is brought to us by the Tuesday show sponsor, Scorpio Books. It is indeed time for the Scorpio Books Spotlight. Yay! Yes! Oh, we need to get that.
I want to get like jock, like sport guy level hype, but for just reading books, you know?
Yeah.
Like someone's like, oh yeah, I just finished this book. Let's go, man! That's awesome! Yes!
Let's throw up reading.
Yeah. That's hype, dude!
Yeah,
so sick! Dude, the simile in that? Blew my mind.
God. There's a campaign in this. There is a campaign in this.
I'll be talking to the libraries later. Yeah. Libraries, reach out. You know, we can start a campaign here. We can sell books.
Love it.
Yeah.
How are you, Josh?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. You know, life is always better when you've got a good book to read. And I'm blessed to have so many. So it's a great time.
Yes. And great sale this weekend, I'll add.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's ongoing. It's ongoing.
Oh, yeah. When's it till?
I think. Oh, my God. I actually meant to look this up beforehand. I believe it's 10 days. So I believe it is until. Yeah, you've got this whole week, I'm pretty certain. But yeah, I may look that up as we're talking, so I get that right. but yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 10 days, but it will still be on now. So you can go and you can have fun and you can get books for cheap and it'll be awesome.
Yes, I got my nephew a book. It was great.
Oh, lovely.
I do have to ask, have you had a chance to check out Fly Nun yet?
Oh, I haven't yet. No. I was away over the weekend, so it opened on Friday, which was when our sale started.
Yeah,
so I'm planning on popping in at some point today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to go check it out.
And having a look, yes, I'm very excited. Speaking of books, I read a great book recently.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Crazy. And to see you, of course. That's a big part of it. But I recently read one of my favorite poets, Kavar Akbar, recently forayed into the prose scene and wrote his first novel.
Really? I love when this happens, when the crossover happens.
It's always a good time. I've been following his poetry for a little while. I think I read one of his first books in like first year uni, and I've kind of followed his stuff since then. I had the pleasure of meeting him when he was here for Word for Christchurch. This was many years ago
now.
That's cool. And he was very generous and lovely and wonderful in person. So
nice.
I was so excited for his book to come out and be a supporter of it. But there's always that fear when it's like, it's someone you already like and know, and then they release something and you're like, okay, well, I really hope it's good because like I want to support this.
There's a possibility,
you know,
it's
but
not.
There's always the possibility.
Yeah,
but
that would scare me.
That did not happen in this case.
Yay.
Thank God. Akbar still wins. So the book is called Martyr with an exclamation mark on the end. That is part of the book title.
Oh, that's fun.
And it centers around Cyrus Shams, who's an Iranian-American in active recovery.
Right.
He's the book kind of moves timelines around a little bit, like you get kind of flashes back to the past and the future, but the main thrust of the book is set kind of a couple years after uni. He's still not really sure what he's going to do with himself, you know, like he says he's a writer, but he's not actually writing anything. as most writers do, you know, he says his line for it is, I'm living the poems I'm going to write, you know, that's his, that's Cyrus's reasoning as to how he's not doing it, which is friends like, that's a really great line, but you're still not actually doing anything.
Yeah, that is a great line.
And so, yeah, he's in active recovery. He, you know, during his uni years, so his mother passed away when he was just a baby, in an incident that did actually happen in the real world. This is like a fictional story, but you know, it's set in the real world.
Yeah.
So in, I believe it was 1988, the American military, because, you know, they're always doing really good things out here.
Yeah.
They actually shot down a passenger jet that was flying between Iran and Dubai. They've never officially apologized for it. They claim that it was just, well, we thought it was a military jet, so we shot it down.
Yeah.
So Cyrus's mother was one of the people who was on that jet in the book. And so that's kind of, from an early age, kind of starts Cyrus's, I guess, fascination would be the right word, or perhaps obsession would be the more accurate word, around death and life, and what does it mean to like live in a way so that your death feels meaningful, because to him mother's death always felt so meaningless, she's you know the 287th person who died on this plane, right?
Yeah,
like she's just a rounding error, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad dies when he starts university, and so he gets quite heavily into drinking and drugs and all of that. For people that have read Kavar's poetry, these are subjects that are quite familiar to him.
Yeah.
Addiction, recovery, faith. The character is from Iran, has like a Muslim background, but isn't necessarily really a practicing Muslim, but still kind of has that fascination with the divine and what it means. And so these are things he talks about a lot in his poetry. And I think he made the right choice to kind of stick to what he knows for the book. He knows how to write this stuff really well. He's kind of, you know, he's an addict himself and has a lot of these experiences. So I think he made the smart call to kind of go at it from a different way with this book. So as it moves, as the book moves forward, Cyrus still trying to figure out what he's going to do. And he sees that there is a art exhibition going on in New York called Death Speaks, where basically this Iranian artist is dying of cancer, and they know they're going to die. It's inoperable. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so they're spending their last however long they have in a museum or in an art gallery, sitting down, and people can just come in and talk to them. So they're kind of, the plan is they're going to live and then eventually die in this art gallery.
Right.
And people can kind of talk to them about death as it goes. So Cyrus thinks, you know, that seems like something that would fit my...
I kind of love this column
scene. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's very, I'm going to forget her name now, but that very famous performance artist who did the thing where she sat... Maria Abramovich, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, she's kind of similar to her in ways.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, actually.
Yeah. So he goes there and he wants to talk to this lady about death because he's decided that he is going to write something and he's going to write a book about martyrs and about what it means to live and what it means to die in a meaningful way.
Mm.
He's doing it partly as like this will be an interesting thing to write about, partly in the less fun way of, well, maybe I'll just, you know, make myself not be here anymore. And so, you know, what can I do before that so that my death is meaningful, so that I can be a martyr for something? And so that's kind of what he's searching for throughout the book. A lot of the stuff I said so far probably sounds quite depressing, quite sad. What Kavar has always been good at and is good at in this book as well is talking about these things that are heavy topics, you know, like hardcore addiction, you know, suicidal ideation, you know, parents are dead and all these things. Talks about it in a way that it doesn't take away from the seriousness of it. It still feels intense. It still feels real, but it doesn't feel like overly depressing, right?
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
Which I think is really important because it's, you know, a lot of addicts aren't just sitting around feeling horrible all the time, right?
A lot of
the time they're feeling great because they're high and, you know, they're doing what they want to do.
It's just
in those moments of intensity that they feel the weight of all of the stuff they're doing.
Yeah.
But a lot of their experiences when they look kind of back on them aren't necessarily like that was, you know, obviously what they were doing was not good for them, but like, you know, Cyrus had fun when he was doing drugs with his friends at uni, you know, like he's not... It's not all doom and gloom, and Kavar's very good at kind of not taking away from the seriousness, but still kind of giving a little bit of levity that you feel like you can kind of continue to read it without feeling kind of horrible. The book also kind of cuts back and forth a bit between, it's mostly from his perspective, and sometimes it'll be from that kind of current timeline of going to the museum. Sometimes it'll flash back to him kind of actually in his addiction days with his friends. There's a very funny and weird and bizarre scene where him and his friends, him and one of his friends lick like fentanyl tabs, and then they go and like do this guy's lawn, where basically it's this weird guy who they have a deal where they can like go and do some yard work for him and he'll give them food, but they have to do it shirtless because it's like kind of the guy, you know, like the guy just sits there like not doing anything.
Yeah, he's an old queen who's just wanted some mate to look
exactly
at.
Yeah. And so it's kind of this bizarre, like him and his friend like high chopping wood being like, this is the weirdest thing ever. it's a very, very fun scene. And then it also does a few from his mother's perspective and from his dad's perspective as well, both when they're back in Iran before him and then also some with his dad after they've moved to America. So you kind of get a bit of that different perspective, as well as, like, you know, first generation over kind of immigrant perspective as well, which is really fascinating. There's a few other themes that happen in the book that I don't want to say too much about because they kind of pop in a little bit later and I don't want to spoil too much, but it does have some really good queer themes. I mean, I will say Cyrus, like, right from the start talks about how, you know, he's had experience with both men and women and, you know, so that's... cool to see in the book, and it's done very well. Yeah, and it's good the way, you know, he talks about it in the sense of, like, obviously his relationships with women and with men are different, right? And, like, it's not, you know, it's not just like, I love everyone, and so therefore it's just the same with everyone. It's like, no, like, your relationship with your guy friend who you've been friends with for ages and just occasionally sleep together is, and is also your roommate, is going to be different to, like, your, you know, one night stands with women and stuff. So it's very interesting in that regard. Yeah, it's just... it's very good to read a book from a explicitly, like, Middle Eastern perspective that isn't, like, a history book about how sad everything is for them all the time.
Yeah, right. You know,
like, I feel like there was a great quote I read at some point recently that I cannot remember, so I'll paraphrase butcher it, but, like, we in the West are so used to seeing, like, Middle Eastern people as the victims all the time and everything. Right? Like, that's, I mean, at least for me, since I was born, there's always been a conflict in the Middle East and a war. You know, all the stuff we see about that is kind of miserable. And so it's nice to read something from an Iranian author, like, that is explicitly Middle Eastern, that isn't just about how they get, you know, attacked all the time. Right?
Yeah,
like, it's about
other
things in their culture, and there's stuff in Iran, like, in the kind of 80s, so, like, right kind of after the Arab Spring, with his mum, and kind of that transitional period for Iran, and kind of how everyone was dealing with that, and how it actually kind of changed. A lot of women were actually doing quite well in a lot of regards in Iran, and then, like, a quite strict kind of theocratical government came in, and it wasn't so good anymore. And so there's lots of stuff like that. There's a lot happening in the book, and Kavar's very good at guiding you all through it in, like, a way that feels nice and good, and you kind of know where you are even when it's cutting back and forth. And when it is cutting back, you feel like, okay, now this gives me more context for the stuff forward. You know, it's kind of placed it all together very well, which I think speaks to his poet abilities almost. I think poetry often, you know, says things out of chronological order and talks about things non-chronologically, but still kind of has to bring it all together in a cohesive way. Poetry doesn't have the same bounds of prose in terms of making sure everything's in the same timeline. And so he's obviously gotten good at kind of doing that, but the reader still understanding where we are all the time. And I think that translated well over to his prose book. I just love it.
Oh my god, that sounds like a fascinating book, actually.
Also, I mean, I feel like this goes without saying, but when someone used to be a poet and they now write prose, you can guarantee that their prose is going to be, like, beautiful and lovely. So good. He didn't go overboard with it. Sometimes you read stuff that you're like, okay, we get it. You know what I mean? Like, we get, you know, you can say a lot of words in it, they sound pretty, but sometimes I just kind of want to know happening. So he's good at using it when it needs to be used, and in times when it's like, we just need to set the scene and you need to understand where all the characters physically are in space.
That is
just explained in a way that you're like, cool, got it. Now we can, like, do wax poetics about their emotional monologues.
I wonder if as a poet, you go in more with that perspective, because, like, I think as a poet, if you went to then write a book, you're gonna be like, right, in a book there are so many more establishing details you need. Probably go at that detail with a bit more of the clinical just needs to be done view.
definitely he said he kind of started the prose writing during COVID, so everyone was in lockdown, he was like, I've always kind of wanted to write a book, but I've kind of focused most of my work on poetry. So he really kind of knuckled down to, like, I'm gonna, like, get good at the skill of writing prose. But yeah, I feel like, you know, the ones where he's you know, more inner monologue emotional stuff, I feel like would have come more naturally to him, just given kind of what he's talked about before. The one other thing I'll say as well, which it doesn't take away from the book, I just think it's kind of funny. So the character in the book is a writer, right? But the character in the book is a writer who doesn't write and hasn't written much and has never been published, whatever. But the author of the book is a very well-established, very, very good, you know, award-winning poetry author. And so occasionally in the book, the chapters will start with a poem from Cyrus, right? Because he's writing his poetry about martyrs.
Right, yeah.
So it'll start with a poem from him. And they're always beautiful. So good. So amazing.
Oh, my
which,
God.
Like, it's fine. Like, obviously, Cyrus can just be a good author and not be published. But, like, I remember the first time I read it, I was like, damn, that's, you just finished uni, Cyrus? Like, come on. This is banging. Like, it's like, so good.
Damn.
And I do wonder, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever find out. But I do wonder if as Kavar was writing those poems, he's like, should I try and make them a little bit worse? You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I thought, like, that's where you were going to go with it, was that like, they were, like, really
like,
bad
maybe
poems.
Maybe he did. I guess I'd have to go back and read his, like, poetry a bit more and then compare. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just kind of funny to, it's always funny when you have a character in a book that's a writer, you know, because it's like, well, the person who's writing this is also a writer. So it's like a weird...
Especially in the sense of like when they're writing an unsuccessful author.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, are you mocking unsuccessful
Yes, exactly. And it's also like, well, you're writing an unsuccessful author, but all the stuff that this unsuccessful author's writing... You're writing, and you're a successful author. So it's just the same. You know, I guess in a way, it's kind of showing that, you know, being published or not being published or whatever doesn't really equate to your actual skill level, right?
No, like, same thing can be said for music, quite
yes,
honestly.
Exactly. I mean, some of the best, like, poems you'll ever read are probably being written right now by some, like, 18-year-old, like, bored as hell boss. And it's just never, it's gonna fall in his pocket and go through the washer, and you're never gonna read it, you know?
I have actually read, like, some of my past work I've done on things and have thought, like, I was much more profound when I was younger, you know?
I've definitely read some of the stuff I wrote and I'm like, man, I used to be spitting. Yeah, like, I'm dumb now. I was like, wow, how did I do this? This is great.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's very funny.
So one more time for that book. What's it called?
It is called Martyr with a exclamation mark on the end by Kavar Akbar. I'm going to spell out his name because I think people should look him up, and I understand it's a difficult one to Nate. For the white listeners here, I understand.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's Kavehakbar. Yes. And you can also just come into Scorpio and ask for him, and I'll show you where they all are.
Do you sell his poetry?
We definitely do sell his poetry. I don't know if we have it in stock at the moment, but I know I've bought his poetry books from Scorpio before.
Right.
Imagine they'll, if we don't have them in, you know what? We can special order them for you because we do that. I know. Aren't we good? Legions. Aren't we good? Yes.
Damn, I really want to read that book.
You should. I'll bring it in for you, Liam.
And you've got, you got me thinking about, like, our Western approach to, like, how we view narratives from non-Western countries.
Yes.
And it's so right.
Yeah, definitely.
And almost, and this sounds horrible, but, like, you get surprised when there isn't mention of, like, a conflict of some sort, or a bombing, or some Muslim,
which is
you guys.
Yeah,
so,
which, like, is I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's a fault of our Western lens, but and also the frustrating thing is sometimes, you know, stories and poems and music will be written from these perspectives that just is happy and joyous and, like, you know, isn't sad, and people are like, yeah, what's the point?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we're so kind of trained to think, and we, you know, and we in a way appreciate the, like, art that's around their struggle, right?
But
then we don't celebrate when they're not struggling anymore.
No, that's such an interesting point.
It's definitely something that, you know, I included need to work on as well, right?
Absolutely.
Of, like, being so used to that. So,
I'm bad for it, I think.
It's a good thing to think about. And, you know, not that there isn't conflict and struggle in this book, but, you know, even the one of Cyrus's problems that he deals with is, like, how do I be an Iranian male in this world and still kind of be soft, right? Like,
people
are so expectant that he's dangerous just because he's, you know, a tall Middle Eastern man with a beard.
Right.
So he's like, how do I kind of move around America in a way that people won't see me as threatening?
I think so many men have that same issue.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. He's like, how do I kind of make sure people know that I'm one of the good ones? But also at the same time, what if I don't want to be one of the good ones?
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
I should be able to, like, be mad and be Middle Eastern and have a beard and people not immediately go, oh my God, he's dangerous.
Yes.
You know, like, I should be able to express that anger and that frustration in a way that people understand and don't take as like, oh, he's
and
a terrorist.
And he shouldn't have to portray an image of being one of the quote-unquote good ones.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's really, yeah, lots of good stuff. There's a lot of stuff happening in this book.
And, I love this kind of conversation. I can just do it for hours.
We could go for hours, Liam. Yeah.
But poor listeners, you won't enjoy that as much as we will.
You never know. Some of them will. Some will.
Anyway, Josh, thank you for joining me this morning.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.
Loved your book choice this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, really keen to read that. And I like having an exclamation mark in it.
I know, it's good. I love seeing that in a title. Yeah. It's great.
Right, have a lovely day.
Thank you.